Good morning. If you're just getting back to school, welcome back and thanks for choosing us. And every Wednesday in the 7 o'clock hour, we invite Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, in studio. And we've been doing this now, what, a year and a half, Rich?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And you can certainly feel fall is in the air.
Yeah.
High school football and kids back to school and Labor Day are right around the corner.
And the Savannah Bananas in town Friday and Saturday, they sold out almost instantaneously. They're kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. Very entertaining. People are watching it on TV, and obviously sellout crowds expected.
That's a great analogy. They really are entertaining, and they're like you said, the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. And they've really taken the country by storm in what they're doing. Wherever they go, they seem to sell out. And I know so many people that necessarily aren't that excited to go to, say, a Pirates game, but can't wait to go see the Savannah Bananas.
I've had ticket requests. So let's run through the weekend. Friday night, you have Friday Night Lights and all the high school games in the second week of action already. By the way, our coverage will be Central Catholic and Pine Richland at CMU, and looking forward to that. They asked me to do the play-by-play. That should be fun.
Well, you're tied into both sides. I know that. You know,
yeah.
Everybody at the stage station that works at Central. Why didn't they get Marty Griffin? Marty was unavailable Friday night. Was he?
I think he's helping coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
he's
that would
the team
be unfair.
Ready. And then, of course, the Pine Richland family from Pine Richland and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, my son at one point coached linebackers at CMU, and that's a great little venue for this kind of event. Kind of small when you think of the impact of the crowd potential.
Yeah, for these two teams, when they play, you're going to get upwards of 10,000 fans that are going to want to be at that game. And these two teams are almost every year are battling for the WPIL and or state championship. And we expect this year to be no different.
Then Saturday at noon, Pitt hosts Duquesne at Acrisure. First time those two teams have played football in 86 years.
Yeah, I always think it's great when our local teams play each other. And I know there's a lot of pressure, whether it's Pitt-Penn State, whether it's West Virginia-Pitt, basketball, Robert Morris and Duquesne, Robert Morris and Pitt. When those teams play each other, it brings a special kind of flavor to the community. And these universities typically, while they compete in some ways, they're really collegial and they really work together very, very well. And
right.
I think it's going to be great for the city to have that happen.
So that's Saturday at noon. By the way, Robert Morris will be at WVU at 2, and then Penn State's hosting Nevada at 3:30 up at Happy Valley. But on Saturday also, we mentioned the Savannah Bananas, you're going to have the North Shore is going to be teeming with people because PNC Park opens their gates at 4:30. So kind of it'll be, I guess, the 2 o'clock people will start coming down for that game while they're still in for the Pitt-Duquesne game. So the city will be jumping, and then we jump ahead to the Labor Day parade on Monday.
A lot of action going on in the downtown and North Shore area, and it's great. It really is great when you see people coming down and, you know, enjoying themselves from throughout the region. And maybe it'll be a little prelude to when we get 500,000 people here next April for the draft.
Test some systems early.
Exactly.
By the way, the forecast for the Labor Day weekend is about as good as it gets or has ever been.
The only thing we need for this weekend that would add to it is if Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce came and made an appearance, but that may not happen.
I know you're most excited about their betrothment now. So Travis popped the question to Taylor Swift, who, by the way, sang before she released her, or as she released her first album, before she was super popular, she came and sang the national anthem at a Steelers game. I believe she was 16 years old.
How long ago was that?
It's been a while. John Waterick with the Steelers organization, who sets up a lot of this stuff, and her family, Mom and Dad, when they came for the two sellout shows a couple of summers ago, they remembered him and thanked him. It was kind of special. But Taylor Swift's, like all things, there's some thread to Pittsburgh.
Yes, there is. And I know she has some Pennsylvania connections. I think it's a little further to the east. But, you know, the amazing thing she is off the charts when it comes to popularity. I mean, she's in a league of her own, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
But what she has done is brought so many fans into the NFL. So as pop culture crosses, you know, from sports into pop culture, she's, you know, kind of wed those two, no pun intended.
And the NFL, they act like, well, it's no big deal, but it was a big deal.
When the Chiefs were playing, how many times did they show her sitting in the stands cheering or whatever? So it's.
And the other big thing happening today is the Cracker Barrel said, okay, we give up. We're going to change the logo. It got so much heat that they said, forget about it. We're just going to stick with our old logo.
Well, one of the things you're certainly seeing out of this administration in Washington is a lot of, not just comments, but a lot of interaction with corporate America. Something that we haven't seen before. And the fact that the federal government is now 10%. investing in a private
company. That ever happened before?
No, not to my knowledge. Now, certainly during wartime, you've given contracts to companies to build things and those type of things.
General Motors, when they declared a bankruptcy, there was some kind of federal protection in that process.
Sure, federal bailouts that have come about for different industries, the banking industry, the automotive industry.
But an out-and-out investment, 10%.
Exactly. And the stockholders are, the taxpayers? And then if there is a federal regulation, who enforces? They enforce themselves, whether it be environmental or regulation or whatever it might be.
It opens up a kind of a can of worms.
It sure does. And to hear a lot of, you know, anti-government conservatives sit on their hands is really interesting.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about, at least in part, we've got the situation where there are driverless trucks right now in Texas being tested. And guess what? It all comes back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there's a company we're going to hear in a few minutes from Gerardo Interonio from Aurora, a strip district company who's been not testing, but absolutely operating driverless trucks, humanless, no human in the vehicle for the last 4 or 5 months. And the fact that we haven't had any news means things must be going well. But we're going to hear from Gerardo
coming
in a little
bit. Coming up with Rich Fitzgerald on the Big K Morning Show. We continue our conversation with Rich Fitzgerald. Rich, Colin Dunlap texted me. He said, do you remember Eddie Fainer?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
That was kind of a touring super softball team.
He struck out Willie Mays and Roberto Clemente. I remember as a kid, he was unhittable.
I remember him. That was probably the closest thing to when they traveled around in lieu of now the Savannah Bananas.
He would play with just a catcher, I think, and maybe one fielder, and he was still shut them all out.
Pittsburgh Technology Center of the world in some ways, and we can remember when they first started the driverless vehicle testing around town. I remember my mother-in-law flew into town, and I said, that car is not being driven by a person. She said, get out. And now we're driverless trucks. Not only are they being tested, they are actually doing this in Texas.
They're running right now. And one of the, you know, obviously the technology that being spun out of CMU, one of the great companies we have headquartered right here in the Strip District, Aurora, has been operating driverless trucks, humanless, no humans in the vehicle for a number of months now. And we have Gerardo Interiano from Aurora, who's going to tell us about what this means for Pittsburgh and what this means and how they've been operating over the last couple of months. Gerardo, welcome.
No, that's exact. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I think that's exactly right. Like we are a company that is headquartered here, and Aurora has been delivering the benefits of self-driving technology safely, quickly, and broadly, which is exactly what our mission has been from the first day that we were founded. We want to make transportation more reliable, more efficient, and we're starting with the trucking industry, and this isn't a future concept, right? Like this is happening right now. This is happening today in Texas. We've already logged more than 20,000 driverless miles, which is the equivalent of traveling coast to coast more than 8 different times. And we're proud to be the first company to deploy a commercial autonomous trucking service on public roads. And our journey started right here in Pittsburgh. It's something that we're really proud of.
And very excited about that because that means so much to the region. That said, I've known you know, the local trucking companies, the biggies like PGT Trucking, Rich, in
Pitt, Ohio,
yep. You know, always looking for drivers, one thing. And then the safety factor of long-haul driving must be through the roof with these driverless vehicles.
You're absolutely right. I mean, today I think it's about 60,000 person job shortage, right? Like we need more truck drivers, and we see this technology being complementary. And one of the exciting parts of our most recent announcement is that we've now unlocked both day and night. You know, but back to the safety component, there's a huge safety benefit to being able to drive these trucks at night, because a disproportionate number, so 37% of fatal large truck crashes occur at night due to low visibility, driver fatigue, and challenges that our technology can overcome, right? Our technology is not going to get distracted. It's not going to be, you know, there's not going to be road rage. There's not going to be somebody that falls asleep at the wheel. And in addition to that safety benefit, it also unlocks the ability for us to double the utilization of our self-driving trucks, right? The Aurora Driver can detect objects in the dark more than 450 meters away, which is 11 seconds earlier than what you and I might be able to see on the road. So the safety benefits of this are very real, but so are the commercial benefits to be able to have greater truck utilization, which helps all of these trucking companies that are looking for these drivers for us to address that gap.
Well, first of all, it's very exciting that this is happening, this technology. Congratulations to Aurora and your whole team. And obviously for Pittsburgh, we're very, very proud of that. And what it's been doing, if you could maybe describe a little bit, I guess driving between Houston and Dallas is my understanding. And is it expanded beyond that? And what are the plans to expand that statewide and even nationwide?
Yeah, so we've started already between Houston and Dallas. So that was our launch lane. That's what we announced back in April. But we've actually already announced that we're going to be expanding to El Paso, right? And then beyond that to Phoenix. So our plan is to continue to expand the route and to really show those benefits, right? We're also validating these driverless operations in more challenging weather like rain and heavy wind, which we expect to complete by the end of this year. We'll begin to expand, you know, to the Sun Belt and eventually north. And imagine getting fresh produce from California to a Pittsburgh grocery store days faster. I mean, that's the future that we're building. And I remember talking to a state senator here in Pennsylvania about what it means for the dairy industry, right? Like what it means to be able to get product faster on the shelves and to open up markets to Pittsburgh dairy farmers. But today, maybe they don't have access to because of the hours of service limitations, because of how long it takes to move product. But once we can unlock this technology and allow for commercial operations here in the north, this will actually have a huge impact to our dairy farmers in the state, because they'll be able to access markets that they can't access today.
Gerardo, I got a practical question. How do they refuel?
So we have partnerships in place, right? So right now we have, we fuel them at our terminals, right? And we get them from one terminal to another terminal, but we're going to be developing partnerships with other industries, right? With other folks that are experts at what they do, right? So you can imagine a partnership with a fueling company that we can stop there, they can refuel it, and then the truck will be able to continue to go along. But from our perspective, we are developing the technology because that is what we are best in class at doing. At the same time, we're working with companies like FedEx, who is best in class at what they do in the logistics space. We are working with, you know, Volvo and PACCAR and Continental that are best in class when it comes to manufacturing. So we're going to continue to develop those partnerships to create that entire transportation ecosystem and really change the way that we think about transportation so that we can deliver these services and these goods that will ultimately benefit customers and us as individuals long term.
Do you have a sense at all, Gerardo, when we might see this in the Pittsburgh area, you know, Pittsburgh, West Virginia, Ohio, on our highways around here?
You know, I don't know that we have an exact date, but I can tell you, like, that is a priority for us to be able to deliver this technology broadly, right? That is a huge part of our mission. We want to see this technology all across the nation and all across the world. Like, we believe that the safety benefits of this are real, and we want to be able to deliver it. And more importantly, Pittsburgh's our home, right? Like, this is a community. I mean, Rich, I think you'll remember, we want to work with government. We want to work with the partners. It's a community that's welcomed us, and we're excited to one day be able to bring this technology here.
No question. You're very open, and you invite, you know, elected officials to come in and kick the tires, so to speak, and see how you do it. And we
literally,
I've driven in them and testing them, and they're very, very, it's really impressive to what you guys are doing. So congratulations. And we're very, very proud. We're proud of our sports teams, but we're also proud of our companies that do innovative things. Congratulations, Roberto.
No, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, always looking forward to visiting with you.
Hats off, Aurora, right here in Pittsburgh. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald in studio, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. And get ready for a big Labor Day weekend.
We really are. And, you know, one of the great traditions in Pittsburgh and Southwestern Pennsylvania, we know back to school, we know Friday Night Lights with high school football, but the Labor Day Parade, which has really become one of the biggest events that we have, and we have every year. And joining us now is the guy that's kind of in charge of organizing all that and keeping things on track, and that's Darren Kelly, the president of the Allegheny-Fayette Labor Council. Darren, welcome, and tell us what we can expect again to another great tradition coming up Monday morning.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning to all your listeners. It's, as always, this will be America's largest Labor Day parade. I just was going through the lineup yesterday. We have a record amount of bands. We actually have another 8 bands coming in, whether they're high school, college, local. People want to be part of this great day.
It's rare, Darren, that we can forecast ahead weather-wise. This is going to be a beautiful weather weekend, including on Monday.
We were laughing. We've had everything from 52 and rainy to 98, and this is without a doubt of the great. And Rich, we marched side by side for so many of those years. I figure I have full faith in our weather forecast from KDK that they're going to send us on a good year. So we're very excited.
Well, Larry, as a former weather guy, if we can trust him, if we can, you know, we know it's going to be fine.
Sir, you heard that plug, brother. I gave you a good plug there. Go ahead.
I appreciate it. For full disclosure, I'm in the Weather Witness Protection Program, but we're looking forward to the weekend very much.
Not only is it a great day, you know, for families who are part of the labor movement and all working people that come down and celebrate workers that go out and do things and take care of us every day. But the other thing I don't think a lot of people know is the public service that comes around what you and your organization does. Blood drives that have happened over the years, even during COVID when we had to close down the parade for, you know, health reasons. Your members would go out and rebuild things like playgrounds and institutions in community. So, you know, first of all, congratulations to that, and I assume that service will continue.
Absolutely, you know, and that started. You know, the one thing we've always taken very serious here in our labor movement is that, you know, we're in the business of people, and that's just not, you know, the everyday. You know, making sure that collective bargaining agreements and things of that nature, that is a major part, but it is recognizing that labor is a part of your community. And the ideas came up with the weekend of services. You know, you were with us the very first one. The first one we did was during the pandemic, was the food distribution with our partners at Pittsburgh Penguins. Then we did the blood drives, and it's still going to this day. Individual unions have taken things upon themselves. The one thing when people ask me is that, well, what can we do? I said, listen, you don't have to have a specialty. Go help a neighbor. Set up a program with your children. Go pick your things off the streets. Anything that you can think of that makes this country a better place, especially now when there is such a division.
That said, there is also such hope for the future in this region, as you know, Darren, as Rich has pointed out, with all of the infrastructure we're expecting to be built, data centers, and labor is going to be essential, 100% necessary to move all of this forward. Where do we stand with that?
You know, we're talk about it excited. We're I mean, I'm starting to review along with Rich and a couple of different groups of what is anticipation. And this is such an exciting time. And a lot of people ask when we're talking about whether it's data centers or, you know, energy, and people say sometimes I take a blase approach, but it said, this is nothing new to us. There is not a workforce in the world that is as seasoned in energy as us. Fossil fuels, I mean, oil was discovered, 60 miles from us. We have had nuclear. We have worked with natural gas. We've worked with renewables. Not only do we produce it, we also maintain it. So we've been ready. That's why we said we're not in the amateur leagues. We've been doing professional work for 30 years. We don't need anything other than a small ramp up. And that's why no matter what happens with the Pittsburgh region workforces, all we do is just reset ourselves. The tenacity that we have is right there. All we need is a little bit of time to get ready, and we'll handle any project.
Back to the parade from the practical standpoint, what time does it start? Where does it launch, and where will it go through the city?
It starts at 10 o'clock, right at PPG Paints Arena, right at the corner of Center and Mary Lemieux Place, straight down, left on Grant, right on the Boulevard of the Allies. It goes through. We're expecting, as always, with such nice weather, keep your fingers crossed, Larry. And we're expecting another record crowd. I cannot be more proud of our parade chairman and his team, you know, Steve Mazza and his team. They'll be down there Sunday walking the route. We'll all be going through. I get excited for days like this, especially time like this, where very rarely do you see such, you know, this is about togetherness. And it might be, you know, just a cliche to others, but to us, this is what we're built upon.
Yeah, and Darren, as Larry said, the challenge of the training and the opportunities that are coming over the next couple of years is really going to be great for this region, and you guys are going to be right in the heart of it and making it happen.
And
congratulations.
Excited to celebrate the hardworking men and women of this region on Monday, Labor Day. And Darren, thank you for your service, United States Navy veteran. We appreciate that first and foremost.
Thank you, sir. And tell her one other thing I could say, if please come out to the parade if you can. If you cannot, take this time to remember who we are. This country has always been in the business of people. Call your relatives, talk to your neighbors, do something to give back. And that's what this country was founded upon.
Darren Kelly, president of the Allegheny-Fayette Labor Council, part of the AFL-CIO. Great
Thank
job.
You, President Kelly. See you Monday.
Thank you.
Pittsburgh's most dangerous intersections, it's going to be an expensive habit for drivers who run red lights, $100 a ticket.
Yeah, city council yesterday really moving this to the next level. And Rich, these obviously are in place in our nation's capital and other cities. How's that working for them, do you know?
It seems to, I mean, when you get a ticket, you're not real happy about it. But that's, yeah. I think what, you know, most of us that drive, you know, you see a street that's 25 miles an hour, you know, may not go that, but now you probably will when you know you're going to get a ticket.
It can't help but save lives and future injuries.
After strong pushback, Cracker Barrel is ditching its new logo, saying in a statement,
"We said we would listen, and we have. Our new logo is going away, and our old timer will remain."
To some degree, this reminds me of when Coke changed their recipe, and then people just push back. It took a lot longer, but in this case, 1 week, and they have said, okay, we give up. But Paul, share how much the renovation cost would have been.
The rebrand itself, which would include the interiors of the restaurants, they're planning on spending $700 million.
That's you don't want to make that mistake. And
and they're, by the way,
have to undo or redo $700 million project.
I'm guessing they're looking for a new marketing director.
Yeah, they were definitely conducting what I would consider a masterclass in alienated your most loyal customers, right?
Yes.
The Bucks have won 5 of the past 6 games.
The Pirates build a huge lead for Mitch Keller, and he would keep it in a quality start and earning the victory. Did Keller and the Pirates in an 8-3 win on Tuesday night.
Pirates
Stadium
broadcaster Joe Block. Yeah, the Bucks quietly have been, I think, making some moves that I think in the future. I know everybody's talking about the ownership and all of that. I get it. But the pitching has been so good, Rich. 16 shutouts, they lead the league.
Yeah, the starting pitching has really been, and that's probably part of a level of frustration that with that grade of starting pitching right. that you've had this year,
get
you're
some
still
bats.
In last play. Exactly.
All right, any surprises from the Steelers' 53-man roster?
It doesn't seem to be. Maybe the fact that they've got a lot of quarterbacks, and maybe that's when you have a 41-year-old at the helm, maybe you're a little worried and put some backups behind that.
I think we'll at some point see some moves there too.
Yeah, there could be some trades upcoming. And this is one of the first years, though, that we haven't had what I would call a feature running back, like a Najee Harris, a number one draft choice, and going back to Jerome Bettis, et cetera. So we'll see.
Go Don Tonse. Who's the Steelers starting running back and backup? People will be like,
running back by committee.
Yeah, we'll know Sunday, September 7th.